Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
We're going to get into the teaching of our verse-by-verse study in the book of Romans today. Here is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Remember this one. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now that's pretty clear. "Let your mind be like Jesus' mind, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God." How did Jesus think? Jesus thought that he was one with the Father. "Let this mind be in you, that you would feel like you are one with the Father." Believer, we must change the way we think. If we continue to think of ourselves as, "Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace," then we live like a sinner who has been saved by grace but not kept by grace. Stop it. In Jesus' name, stop it. Stop calling yourself a sinner saved by grace. Start seeing yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ. Say it every day. "I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved. All because of Jesus Christ living in me. I'm none of these things by my merit. I'm none of these things because I think right or act right or talk right or do right. I do believe that He will cause me to think right and talk right and do right and act right. The more that I recognize who He is in me." This entire, I hate to use this word, this entire religion, Christianity, is a relationship. I guess I should say it this way. The entire faith of Christianity is relationship, not religion. Allowing Christ to do His perfect work in us. We're not being conformed to this world, but we're letting the inside come to the outside. How do we do it? By the renewing of our minds. As my mind is renewed, so I allow who I am on the inside to come out. Now, if I don't know who I am on the inside, this is the point. If I don't line up the way I think of me with what God thinks of me, how can I reflect on the outside what I have on the inside? Because I think I'm guilty. I think I'm incomplete. I think I'm a sinner saved by grace. So what's coming out of me? The stuff that I think. This is why renewing your mind is an absolute essential part of who you are in Christ. When you renew your mind, you become transfigured. You become metamorphomeo. You become transformed. Now what will that do? Let's read the verse again. "Be not conformed to this world." We covered. "But be ye transformed." We covered. How? "By the renewing of your mind." That we covered. Now watch this. "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Notice that it's "that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Not so that you may go out and do it, but so that you may prove it. All of God's goodness, all of God's acceptability, all of God's perfect will is wrapped up in you transforming by renewing your mind. You want to know how good God is? Renew your mind to think like Him. You want to know what God thinks of you, how acceptable you are? Renew your mind so that you think like Him. You want to know God's perfect will for your life? Renew your mind so that you think like Him. Romans 12:2 is beautiful. And if I can just use this word, Romans 12:2 is gorgeous. It contains absolute, unbelievable truth that you and I have such a great and blessed promise of what God has done to deliver you and I, how He comes out in us reflecting on the outside what is on the inside. Praise God. Now let's read on, because we're going to talk for a few moments and these verses will go a little faster. So we're going to talk for a second about service, Christian service, beginning in verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given to me," notice that Paul prefaces everything that he's going to say by grace having been given to him. In other words, I didn't know to tell you guys this stuff until grace taught me to tell you. You want to know how to preach? Let grace teach you to preach. How to teach? Let grace teach you to teach. You want to know how to do your job, even in the secular realm? It's not, you say, well, it has nothing to do with spiritualism or whatever. Let grace teach you how to do your job. That doesn't mean don't go to college and don't get educated, but let grace show you the things that you don't know. "Through the grace given to me, to every man," this is imparted grace, "to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, this is interesting because verse 2 just told you to renew your mind. And I just sat here and told you that renewing your mind means think like Jesus thought. Think of what the Bible thinks of you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Now, how could a believer think of themselves more highly than they ought to think? The only way for a believer to do that would be to take Jesus out of their life and think that they're able to do this on their own works. That's thinking you have a whole lot more ability than you do. Let me tell you something else that's thinking highly of yourself. Thinking that your sin was not covered by the blood of Jesus. You think pretty high of yourself. You think you're such a good sinner that his blood didn't cover your sins. So you see how sometimes we subtly think highly of ourselves, even while we are trying to think low of ourselves. I see some people, they will try to really cut themselves. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm just doing this by the grace of God. And they'll think, boy, this is sounding real humble. Well, all they're really doing is trying to deflect the glory off of Jesus' finished work and put it on their inability. That is self-righteousness. That is actually us thinking highly of ourselves, higher than we ought to think. Think as he thinks about you. Do not let every man that is among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The word soberly, sophronio. The word sophronio is better translated in Mark 5:15. When Jesus goes into the land of the Gadarenes, and he delivers the Gadarene demoniac from the legion of demons, over 6,000 demons. And after he delivers him, and the pigs run into the ocean full of demons, the Bible says that the townspeople come to adjure Jesus to leave because he's destroyed their sacrificial crop. But they see the man who had been possessed of the devil sitting and clothed and in his sophronia. That's the Greek. The English, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Now, Paul uses the same word in Romans 12:3. Let every man think soberly. Let every man think in his right mind, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So wherever your faith ends, think on these things. Think soberly and righteously. This is the same phrase that Paul uses in Titus when he writes to Titus, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly and righteously in this present world. Notice that it's grace that teaches us how to live soberly. It's grace that teaches us how to live according to our right mind. So don't think highly of your ability to sin. Don't think highly of your ability to live right. Think in your right mind. And in your right mind, you're going to see how right Jesus is in you. Let me say in a nutshell what I've tried to say for years teaching grace. And that is, do not think much of your ability. Think everything of his finished work. The more you concentrate on you, the less you'll concentrate on him. Redirect your efforts to thinking on him. Verse 4, Romans 12 and 4. For as you have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now, this is, of course, physical. There's a lot of people in one church, a lot of people in one business, one organization, but not everybody holds the same office. That wouldn't make sense. Why have that many people doing the same job? Verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Though our church might have 300 people or 3,000 people or 30,000 people, each member is an important component within that church. Just like an important component within a factory or a school or wherever it might be, a business. We're one in Christ. Notice that our body is in Christ, not in our denomination or our doctrine, but it is one in Christ. And I don't want to get into the reasons why we have denominationalism and non-denominationalism and all those things. But I do believe that we should start to recognize our brothers and sisters as being those who are in Christ. Even if we can't line up on doctrine, are they in Christ? Have they accepted Christ by faith? Are they believing on him for their soul's salvation? Then that is one body, and we are one body. When he comes back, he's not going to rapture us out in waves. The most worthy go first, and the denomination that got it right goes first. No. One body, raptured from all over the world, taken from all over the world. But here's something unique about us, verse 6. We have then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether it's prophecy, let's prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Notice that All the things he's about to mention are grace gifts. They come to us not by our effort, not by our works, not by our earning them. Some people say, well, you got to earn these gifts. You got to earn God giving you these things. God's got to see that you're serious before he gives them to you. No. No, the father didn't wait to see how serious the son was that came home from slopping hogs. He gave him the signet ring, which was the line of credit. He gave it to him before he ever even heard if he said, I'm sorry. The son just came home. And the father's ready to give you good gifts. But whatever gifts he gives for his glory. And they're differing according to the grace that's been given to us. So whatever it is, use it. And I love this phrase in Romans 12:6, according to the proportion of faith. So you can only do with the gift God has given you what your faith allows. So if your faith, if you trust in him to use it, you'll see used greater. If you don't trust in him, you'll see it used very little. I don't want to sneak too far ahead because when we get into it, we'll do a lot of depth on it in 14. But in Romans 14, Paul closes the chapter by saying, this is Romans 14:22, happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. This is Paul saying, whatever it is that you allow yourself to do, and some people have said this is wrong, and Paul was actually talking about eating and drinking wine and eating meat. And he said, if you're happy if you can do it and not feel condemnation. And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he doesn't eat of faith, for whatever is not of faith is of sin. And Paul's saying, he that doubts his ability to eat it without being condemned is condemned. He is damned. He has received condemnation. But notice the word doubt. He that doubts. We'll get into this a lot deeper in Romans 14. But the word doubt in the Greek is diakrinos. Krinos is condemnation. Dia is by the means of. So doubt is two compound words. By the means of condemnation. Doubt is sourced in condemnation. So every time you use only a little of faith, you don't use it all. And for whatever reasons, you don't believe for more. They are always sourced in condemnation and guilt, where we just don't believe that God will do it because we did something wrong, or we said something wrong, or we went somewhere wrong. And we've heaped upon ourselves so much condemnation that we now doubt. The proportion of our faith is where we use our gifts. And let's close it out in 7 and 8. Or ministry. This is another gift. Let's wait on our ministering. He that teaches, on teaching. He that exhorts, on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, let him do it with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. I want you to notice that all of those things are grace gifts. Some people have a grace gift for ministry. He didn't say preaching, but literally ministering to people. Ministering to their needs, ministering to their hopes, their desires, ministering to them in their pain. Some have a gift to teach. I believe God has blessed me with a gift to teach and to exhort. And those are both in verse 7 and 8. And he's given us an ability, a gift. It's a grace gift to teach the Word of God, to find depth in the Word of God, and to exhort people, to build them up, to lift them up. Also, there's people that are gifted to give. They give in greater spirit than others. They give in greater quantities than others. Then do it with simplicity. Don't make it complex. And don't try to push it off on everybody else, how much you're giving, your percentage of giving, the way that you give. Do it simply. Thank you for listening today to our teaching from the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. If you would like a copy of the teaching from the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday editions of the Deeper Daily broadcast this week, it encompasses Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. We'll send it to you postage paid and free of charge. All you have to do is contact the ministry and ask for it by offer number R121. That's offer number R121, and we'll send it to you approximately 37 minutes on one CD. Until tomorrow, this is Pastor Paul White reminding you that you are greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.